everyone, it's Christina Herrick, produce editor with The Packer, here again with another Tip of the Iceberg podcast. In this episode, I talk with Cam Quarles, Chief Executive Officer of the National Potato Council, Bob Matiff, President of the National Potato Council, and also a potato grower from Monte Vista, Colorado. And later, I'm joined by Kelly Turner, Manager of the Potato Growers of Michigan. This episode centers around advocacy and the need for those in the potato industry to speak up and have their voice heard. So I'm going to start it off with Cam and Bob. Thank you so much for joining me today. And let's talk about what's going on in D.C.
Thanks for having us, Christine.
Yep. Thanks for being here.
I find these conversations to be incredibly important. Just to talk about why we're here, why it's important, why you do this. So tell me a little bit about that. Why is bringing members in such an important thing, and then having both meetings and then having meetings with members of Congress? What's the objective? Why is that relevant? Why is that important?
Well, I think it's important that we have growers here that can tell their story, why some of these issues that we're advocating for are important to them personally, to their farms, to their state, to their local communities. You know, there's a lot of good information, but part of it is we want to tell our story.
Yeah, and I would just echo that. When you look at the scope of the potato industry, we had a big economic study that we rolled out a year ago, and we built on it this year. But a year ago, Michigan State determined that on an annual basis, the potato industry, the activities that begin on America's family potato farms, when you go all the way up the supply chain, it's responsible for approximately $100 billion in annual economic activity in the United States and supports over 700,000 jobs. And, you know, there's obviously a number of pieces to contributing that huge amount. It's all of the work that goes on farms in terms of environmental activities, growing practices, making sure that you have access to the necessary crop protection tools, being able to have open markets both domestically and internationally, making sure you've got the right nutrition policies. All of those tentacles kind of spread out and make sure that you create a foundation that can generate all of that. All of that is affected by Washington, D.C. Now, we, as the folks who live here, we can work on a technical basis with all of our members, and we do that pretty effectively. But it's folks like Bob who are out there. They're the job generators. They're the folks who have the farms in the congressional districts and really have that relationship with those members and can connect the good policy from D.C. can translate into great benefits for American producers like Bob.
It's an educational process. You know, we need to educate our agency people as well as our legislators on what's happening on the ground in our communities, on our farms.
Absolutely. So why don't you give me some of the highlights of some of the talking points this year? As you mentioned, there was a study that was just released that builds on last year's study. So what are some of the big talking points? I mean, I can almost bet labor's part of it, export, everything. So what are some of your top level talking points that your members are going to be having conversations about?
Well, I'll tell you, one is just sort of fundamental to our identity is you've got this huge process going on, which occurs every 5 years. It's when the federal government provides its best guidance to Americans on what they should eat. And it's called the Dietary Guidelines for Americans process. A bunch of academic folks get together, sort through information, and try to provide Americans with their best advice. One of the things that they're considering is whether or not potatoes, which are scientifically, they're a vegetable, they're also the most widely produced and consumed vegetable in the United States, whether or not they should remain classified as a vegetable. And as comically absurd as that sounds, that the federal government would be delving into something like that. It's also very important for us. If they get that wrong, it not only does it misinform consumers about the nutrient value of potatoes, it can trickle down to local school districts would pay more for school breakfast and school lunch for kids. It certainly would provide a huge impact to this industry. All of those resources that have been built through things like the Farm Bill that go to specialty crops, if you reclassify potatoes out of the specialty crop, out of the vegetable category, we're no longer eligible for programs we built like the block grant program and specialty crop research and all these other things. It has this massive cascading effect. And so our folks are in town. We've been doing this for the better part of the last year, and certainly this week are going to be reinforcing both the science around this issue, as well as the real world impact of the federal government meddling around in something, essentially sort of crowdsourcing, emotion sourcing, what should be really a scientific debate.
When we go to the Hill, we usually have a number of issue, one page sheets for our delegation, and it covers exactly what Cam is talking about. One of them is nutritional value. Some of the other things we will be talking about is obviously Farm Bill will be one of the top priorities for us. Trade policies, those are very important as we talk about increasing our export opportunities. Research, appropriation for research dollars. Regulation, burdensome regulation through the federal government is a topic we'll be discussing. Guest worker program or ag labor situations. So we have a number of issues that we'll be discussing with our delegation and trying to, again, tell our story of how those things impact our operation and how they ultimately impact potatoes and how, their availability there to the consumers.
So I'm sorry, and I can edit this out if this question is, I didn't put this down, but it occurred to me this is an election year, which is also, I think, an interesting year for advocacy because there is a chance that that things might change next year. There's a chance things might not, but, does that change the messaging? Or are you, really just focused on kind of your objectives and kind of keeping that part of it out of the
Yeah, those issues, Christine, those are things that are utterly outside of our control. We don't have any idea. And, it trickles down to things like the Farm Bill. People, whether or not a Farm Bill can actually move through the House or the Senate, the election year, or the presidential election or Congress overwhelms that. We can't control any of that. The only thing that we have an ability to affect is the sharpness of our messages and making sure that we're talking to the right people. Whenever that larger federal train of legislation starts to move, we want to be on it. That's kind of the way we approach all of these things.
Yeah. It's not a partisan issue. Everybody eats, and we want to be there to provide them a good, nutritionally healthy product.
And I guess, while some turnover happens, there are still a lot of people that work for the federal government that will remain. They don't just pack up if, a different party's in charge. So I see your point. And I guess I just wanted to ask, because I don't want people to feel like a lame duck, although we have a long time that it's a pointless thing to advocate during lame duck, because I still think, as you said, there's quite a bit that NPC has to talk about, and especially, on the dietary things, that's something that's a clear objective. So sorry, thank you for indulging in that question with me.
Sure.
Here's a question that I have for anyone listening to this back home that might be involved in the potato industry. what can they do if they can't, let's say they couldn't make it here, something happened, or they just are unable to travel, but they still are involved in the industry. What can they do at home to help represent the industry and help get the word out on some of these conversation pieces?
Well, I think, you know, if you can't be here, get involved in your local associations, communicate your feelings and messages to them, and so that when we come back here, we come with a unified voice. You know, again, it kind of goes back to that educational component. And I want to address your last question just a little bit as you talk about some of the bureaucrats and stuff that are in there. We want to build those relationships with them. And so that it, you know, we saw that with Secretary Vilsack when he was in prior administration. Now he's back. That's really can be helpful to us because you don't have to start that educational process all over and you can move forward much quicker. But for people that, yeah, can't come, you know, get involved, be communicative with the National Potato Council or your local associations and just be a good advocate.
And I would say too, I completely agree with that. And I think also we're part of our business every single day is to clearly communicate, not just with the folks in Washington, D.C., but also with the industry about where the folks like Bob, our other leaders, where they want NPC's policies to be, and the primary issues that we want to move forward, we want to advance for the industry. We hope we're communicating that through great outlets like yours and others, so that people really have a sense if they bump into their member of Congress at home, they can fairly articulate, look, keeping potatoes as a vegetable is really, that's good public policy. Getting a new farm bill is good public policy. And, you know, supporting some of the things that the potato industry specifically is targeting, that's a real benefit for my farm, wherever, whatever state I might be in.
We have the Potato Leadership Institute that we bring on people from all over the United States to participate in so that they learn some of the issues. They'll travel to different production areas. Then they end up coming here to be at the summit, and so that they learn how that process works so that they can be more effective communicators and future leaders within our industry and agriculture in general.
And that's always great for the industry. You know, I've been with other produce commodities as they've had their young leaders, and then you see those young leaders start to assume leadership positions within the organization, and it's always a nice thing to see. And it's fantastic for them to get exposure like this, working the hell with experienced members of the industry. I was going to say lobbyists, but you're not lobbyists. You know,
we're advocates.
Advocates, yeah. Yes. Well, I was trying not to use advocates. I've used
that. Educators.
So. You know, for a writer, apparently I was lost for words there for a second.
Technically, I am a lobbyist, yes. Though. I am a...
The button. Anyway, yeah. I digress. So what else about advocacy should our readers know about or think about that I didn't ask you about?
I would just say, and you know, this goes even beyond the potato industry, but you know, when you roll things back 20 years ago, the specialty crop industry, the fruit and vegetable industry in the United States was just not a part of the Farm Bill, which is the fundamental ag policy document that governs the next 4 or 5 years for the U.S. And it's pretty remarkable when you consider that specialty crops, fruits and vegetables, make up about 50% of all of the farm gate value of everything the U.S. produces. So 20 years ago, what was the reason for that? It was that the industry wasn't organized. We really didn't have a unified voice when it came to things like research or promotion or pest and disease exclusion, all of these various things. We sought to correct that about 20 years ago, and we formed what's called the Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance. NPC is a big member, one of the co-chairs of the Farm Bill Alliance. And in the intervening time, since we got organized, billions of dollars have flowed to the specialty crop industry. that's going to be even more important going into the future. And so it's something we take very seriously in the potato industry, is being organized at the federal level, in close coordination with all of our states, having a very sharp message, and then broadening that message out, finding allies in the larger specialty crop community to make an even bigger impact when it comes to things like the Farm Bill. I think if we continue to do that, we're going to see a lot of benefits in the future. The thing I, you know, kind of my caution on all of that is, for a lot of the folks who don't remember what it was like when we were disorganized and not part of the process, they may feel like we're entitled to all of these things. We are not. They can all go away tomorrow if we all get disorganized and the chaos of the past returns. And so we've got to be even sharper into the future. And that's kind of, I keep beating that drum with everybody, is you've got to work even harder today than you did in the past in order to maintain and expand these benefits.
Absolutely. And, you know, farming continues to have challenges, more and more challenges. And that's when you need all that research and that funding to help mitigate those challenges.
Well, that's why it's so important for us as producers to have somebody like Kim here in D.C. advocating and lobbying on our behalf, you know, giving them that right message and keeping that message in front of them so that we don't get lost in the crowd. It's pretty small, you know, what we get out of that USDA budget is pretty tiny.
But at least it's there.
Yeah. We're able to do a lot with the small amount that we get.
Yep, that's right. We are truly taking, especially in the international trade world, compared to what a lot of our competitors get around the world, we are taking a knife to a gunfight. But it's a really good knife, and we want to keep it. And we want to keep it sharp.
Well, that's great. That's all the questions I had. So I thank you both for talking to me a little bit about this week, and, you know, just for you carving out some time in your very busy schedules. I know what these are like when everyone's in, everyone, you've got meetings before the actual day on the Hill. So I appreciate you just taking some time ahead to talk to me about it.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for being here, Christine.
And now I'd like to welcome Kelly Turner, manager of the Potato Growers of Michigan. Kelly, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk with me here in D.C.
Absolutely. Well, when we come to Washington, D.C., it's an education both ways. So we have growers coming from Michigan to meet their legislator, their congressional members here in D.C. It's a totally different atmosphere than going to Michigan and having congressional members come to their farms, right? So it really says, hey, we're important, and we want to help you understand our business. We want to be your expert in the area of the potato industry, and just to build relationships so that the congressional members understand that they do have people in their districts that they can call if they have questions when it comes to bills that are coming out or regulations. It's also a really good education for our growers. So we have a mix this year. We have some growers who come every year to this event. They already have relationships with congressional members, but we also have some that have never even been to DC before. So this is a really eye-opening experience for them. Some of them are really nervous to meet their congressional member because in their eyes, like, They're celebrities, right? They're like these people that they see on TV, and they're making rules and regulations. And really part of the experience is to understand the history that's here in DC and the culture, and to introduce them and build relationships to their congressional members, who really are people just like the rest of us, who are doing a job that's really hard. And they're expected to know pretty much to be experts on every issue. Right. And so this is where farmers can come and be supportive of their congressional members, help them understand, like, I'm here, I want to be on speed dial when these conversations are happening. If you've got questions about how this is going to impact folks in your district in the potato industry. So we do have a list of items that we're going to be talking about this time. Some of the biggest ones that are near and dear to the growers in Michigan is the nutritional value of the potato, right? So we kind of talk about this from several different ways. One is making sure that potatoes stay categorized as a vegetable. It sounds a little crazy, but potatoes are a nutrient-dense vegetable that it's the only vegetable that's currently consumed in the amounts that are recommended in the dietary guidelines, which is really important for us to know. So as we take this back to Michigan, we work very closely with the Double Up Food Bucks program and the Fair Food Network to make sure that folks in Michigan, no matter what economic status or socioeconomic status or wherever they're located in the state, they have access to healthy vegetables grown locally. And potatoes, we store them almost year round, and it's a great option for them. The second thing really is looking at how do we grow the industry in Michigan, right? So we'll be talking about workforce development and the need to have access to a guest worker program that is affordable and helps us to be able to compete with other nations. So the U.S. actually now imports more fruits and vegetables than we export, which, yes, is definitely a head shaker, right? And so that's a problem for the United States on many levels, as far up as national security, right? And so we'll be talking about the role that Michigan plays in that scenario, as well as the role that USDA and APHIS play in helping to keep our industry safe, working through their own rules and their own suggestions to really help us keep potato wort out of this country, because if it comes in, we lose all of our trade export opportunities. So we're really, we want to make sure we're set up for success and that we're protecting the industry. So we'll be kind of talking about what that means or what that could mean to folks who grow potatoes in Michigan and surrounding states.
That's great. You know, it's always interesting when I have these conversations with someone that's going to go on the Hill and have conversations with different representatives and senators, because there are so many facets to the industry that you could really cover. So it's great to hear kind of what Michigan growers will be talking about when they're on those visits. So let's talk about the importance. Why be here? I mean, I know you alluded a little bit to that, but you know, you're bringing in a contingency of some veterans and some new members. So why is it important to be here? And what are you saying to some of those growers to get them to come?
That is a fantastic question. Thanks for asking. The Michigan Potato Industry Commission just finished an economic impact study that shows that the potato industry in Michigan contributes over $2.5 billion of economic impact to Michigan annually. So taking the information and putting that in front of our congressional members is one of the really important reasons, right? Because these congressional members, they see people from different industries all day long. Their staff are stacked up with people from a litany of different industries that are asking for things. If we aren't here and you're not at the table, basically then you're on the plate. And so we want to make sure we're part of those conversations, and you have to build relationships, right? The world runs on the back of relationships. So if we aren't coming here and showing our congressional members that building a relationship with you is so important, that we will travel from our home state to come see you in your office in DC and talk to you about our issues. So, and the conversations are different, right? Because that really shows the interest of our growers to come here to DC. And hopefully then we get those congressional members to come back to Michigan, and when they're in the district, to get out on farms and experience some of the things that our growers will be talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, I like to ask the question too, because I know not every grower can come, not every person can be in DC. So, you know, what about the person back in Michigan that's listening to this podcast, or, you know, this is a national podcast, so anyone in a state, what can they do in their home state or in the state of Michigan if they're not here in DC with the rest of us?
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever seen those like TV shows where they're man on the street and they're asking people like, who's the president and who's your a congressional member, and a lot of times those people don't know, right? We want to avoid that. If you don't know who your congressional member is, get on the Google and find out. They have offices within their district. Call those offices, send a letter to letting them know that you are interested in meeting them, set up a meeting with them, invite them out to your farm. It really is all about that relationship building, whether you can, yes, doing it in DC has a different impact, but it's so important even back in your district so that you can build those relationships. We have congressional members who, when they're on the floor voting on different things or have questions, they'll call some of our farmers and ask them, hey, this piece of legislation came out. This is what I'm looking at. How does this affect you? And I encourage everyone in the ag industry to have that sort of relationship with their congressional member or even their state legislative body, because with less than 2% of the population being involved in agriculture, they just don't know. And the misinformation that's out there is incredibly insane.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's a great point that you brought up that it's not just, this isn't a one-time thing. This is establishing a relationship and then becoming a resource. Because as you said, you know, a lot of the representatives don't have an agriculture background and they're trying to make decisions. And I don't think they're trying to do it in a harmful way at all, but they maybe don't understand the impact or, you know, they might have heard from another interest group that might have a conflicting view. And so making sure that potato growers have a seat at the table of that conversation is so important. And it's great to hear that some are actually getting calls from someone on the floor trying to decide whether something is of importance to the industry or not. That's a fantastic thing to know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, what else should we be talking about when we're here? What else should we be thinking about? I feel like these type of events are such a great, like almost like a pep rally. Everyone gets excited for the industry. Everyone gets excited to represent. So, you know, what else about this experience should people listening be thinking about or know about?
Oh, absolutely. Because we're part of the National Potato Council, there are folks here from other states. So this is a great opportunity to network, to talk about solutions that some folks maybe have seen in some states that others could pick up. We also talk a lot about different legislation pieces that are happening in other states that we need to be aware of. So the East Coast is definitely different from the West Coast, but how does information travel back and forth? And honestly, DC is just a really cool town. There is so much history here. And, you know, people see the White House, the president talking on TV. It's really a surreal thing. So we try to set up special activities while they're here to either go see historical sites or go to the White House or get a tour of the FBI, even just a tour of the Capitol. It always amazes me every time. I've probably done one every year for the last 7 or 8 years. I learn something new. I see something different every tour that I take in the U.S. Capitol. So we're really lucky in the United States that we have the ability and the freedom to do that. There's a lot of countries where you won't get close to the Capitol, right? But and here you can take tours and go in the basement and check out all these really cool things. And you can watch session happens and listen to the conversations and be a part of it. It isn't something that just happens on TV and the movies and is made up. Like, these things happen in real life and you can experience them by coming here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just thinking as you were talking about my flight in this morning and, you know, you look over and there's the Washington Monument, you see the Capitol, you know, it's just like, it took me a second to go, oh my gosh, like, wow, I've flown into DC so many times, but it still, you know, kind of makes you stop and pause for a second as you're taking all of that in. So it's great to hear that, you know, you're targeting some of those experiences especially for the first time members, because, you know, that's always a great thing to do when you're in DC.
It's fun. On the flight over here, we had a few growers on the plane and we had some of our congressional members, right? So for them to see them sitting in the economy section, right, of the airplane, where they could say hi on their way in onto the plane and then chat with them on the way to the baggage claim, I think those are experiences that you don't get every day, right? So, but they really help to humanize the process and the people.
And that's all part of this too, is just the more everyone can relate to each other, I think the better that relationship becomes. So.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. I think we got enough. So
sweet.
I'm going to
talk too long.
No, I don't know.
That's great.
Let's do a formal like thank you to sign off, because we can cut out that section of us just chatting for a sec there. But you know, thank you again for joining me. This has been a fantastic conversation. It's such a pleasure to talk to you, and it's great to see you in person. I've talked to you for stories, so it's great to put a face to a name and say hi.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We could meet up here in DC, so I appreciate you coming here and taking the time to visit with us.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. So.
Thank you again to Cam Quarles, Chief Executive Officer of the National Potato Council, Bob Mativ, President of the National Potato Council, and Kelly Turner, Manager of the Potato Growers of Michigan, for joining me to talk to me about the need for advocacy in the fresh produce industry. And I also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, you can catch new episodes of Tip of the Iceberg on your favorite podcast platform like Google Play, Spotify, Apple, and more. And that's a wrap for this edition of Tip of the Iceberg, brought to you by The Packer and PMG Magazine. Join us again soon for more industry insights. Bye!